This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Joint legislative procedures will come to order. Secretary will please call the roll.
Senators Bolin.
Here.
Colbeck.
Here.
Langer.
Here.
Nessaba.
Here.
Nostrup.
Here.
Schoenbeck. Representatives Beal. Diedrich. Gosh. Hansen.
Here.
Qualm. Smith.
Here.
Senator Greenfield.
Here.
Representative Haugard. Eight present.
We have eight voting members present. I would also note that the ex officio non-voting member is here, or Lieutenant Governor. Welcome, Lieutenant Governor Roden. For those who are joining us, I would remind you to please silence your mobile devices. And if you have anything that you would like to share with us as we proceed, please sign in at the back register. I would ask our pages to come forward and introduce yourselves. Tell us where you're from, what your trajectory is, where you plan on ending up.
Hello, everyone. My name is Claire St. Pierre. I am from Hamlin County, and my plans are undecided, but I would like to end up in the political field somewhere, some way, somehow. So thank you.
Come on up.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Sundit. I'm from Brookings, and I plan on going to SDSU.
I might note that the young lady who introduced herself is from my district, but did not ask me to be her sponsor, so maybe she aspires to take me out. Do we have a problem? Okay. She's clearly sharper than I. All right, and we do have other members that are arriving, and as soon as Representative/Speaker Haugard gets here, I'll turn the gavel over to him, but I did want to at least get things rolling. I would also ask for our interns to come forward and help us get to know you a little bit better. Tell us where you're from, both where you grew up and what schools you go to and what your majors are.
Hello, my name is Ross Silty. I am a senior at South Dakota State University. I am from Appleton, Minnesota, and I have the intentions of going on to law school after I graduate.
Very good. Best wishes to you, sir. Do you plan on seeking your Juris Doctorate at USD?
Yes, I do.
We appreciate that very much. Welcome to South Dakota for the long haul.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Josiah Aberson, senior at Black Hills State University, originally from Baltic, South Dakota, but I live in Spearfish, South Dakota, obviously. Member of the South Dakota Air National Guard. After school, I don't have a nailed down plan yet, but I'm hopefully doing something impactful. We'll see.
Senator Langer.
And I would just add that he is from my district. So I think we have a coup here to unseat the seated legislators.
Hey, let me know where I can send a check. Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mitch Rave. I'm from Baltic, South Dakota also, currently a senior at University of South Dakota in Vermilion. I am studying political science and minor in business.
Pro Tem, I can trump you. I have two from my district.
I guess you do. And you might recognize either the name or the voice. That is former Senator Rave's son. So thank you, Mitch, for being here. Do we have any other interns in the room? Yes, young lady.
Hello, I'm Spencer Flood. I'm originally from a small town in central Minnesota, but I hopped the border to go to school at South Dakota State. I'm studying agricultural education and political science with the hopes of teaching upon graduation and maybe end up lobbying for education and agriculture in my future.
Very good. Yes, Michaelin.
Hi, I'm Michaelin Berner. I am from North Sioux City, Jefferson area, but I go to SDSU now for political science in Spanish, and I plan to go to law school after that, too.
Very good. Michaelin told us yesterday that she graduated early and began college about 3 weeks after her high school graduation. So.
And District 16, by the way, Senator Greenfield.
And you can take out petitions to run against him. Yes, sir.
My name is Peyton Sexton, and I'm a junior at SDSU, and I'm studying political science and history, and I plan to go to law school after I'm done with school.
Peyton, have you ever done any rodeoing?
I'm on the rodeo team at SDSU.
On the rodeo team at SDSU. As I've mentioned before, I will be turning the gavel over to the speaker, and if there's anybody else, there we go.
Hi, I'm Jordy McPherson. I'm from Rapid City. I'm a junior at Black Hills State, and I'm winded because I was getting my representatives. But and I'm double majoring in human resource management and business administration management. So
very good. Yes. Thank you for being here as well. Any other interns or pages? Anybody else who would like to just introduce him or herself? All right.
All right,
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much. We'll now call to order the Legislative Rule Changes Committee or Legislative Procedures Committee.
Been called to order.
And it's already been called to order, so we're all set to go. It's nice that you folks were on time for a change.
We've done the preliminary stuff.
So we're ready to proceed. We're going to move on to discussion of the proposed changes, and Director Hancock will cover those. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first block of changes in front of you were all reviewed by the Executive Board at their November meeting. The first block there, 6G-2-4 and 5, all deal with the engrossing process, and this is an area where we had kind of looked at these sections as being, in some cases, duplicative, in some cases, somewhat outdated. 6G2 and 6G5 are really duplicative in terms of talking about the engrossing happening before things go on to the next step. And then 6G-4 talks about each house being able to print bills and reports and things without the consent of the second or of the consent of the other house. We didn't see that as being necessary, really. There's nothing that says that one of the houses of the legislature needs the consent of the second and of the other body in order to print. And really, we don't do that much printing anymore anyway. Most everything is on the internet now, so this is some outdated language. So we've kind of consolidated things down to just 6G-5 in this language, simply saying that amendments will be engrossed before the bill moves on to the next stage of the legislative process.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move adoption of 6G-2.
Second. Seconded by Senator Nespa. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Let's back up just a little bit, Senator Greenfield. If you'd combine the motion in regard to those three.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was actually not finished with my motion. And
you have to speak more rapidly.
6G-4 and 6G-5.
Thank you very much. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Gosch. Discussion on the motion.
I'll speak very briefly, and then I'll yield to Senator Nessebo if you so choose to recognize him. As those of us who are on executive order know, we've taken a look at these, and we've consulted with LRC and feel that there are ways that some of our processes can be streamlined, and frankly, some of these things are just out of date. They don't reflect current practice or what's practical. So I would encourage your support.
All right, thank you. Further discussion? Senator Nespa.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. How does this change, particularly 6G2, how does that change what we're doing already?
Director Hancock.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Nessebo, really it doesn't, because we currently engross bills. You know, we engross the amendments into the bills before they move on to the next stage. As it is, we've just got that requirement sitting there in two different sections of our rules right now, so we're trying to kind of combine that stuff together and eliminate some superfluous language in the rules to try and eliminate potential confusion.
Right. Further discussion? Hearing none, we will. This is going to be a roll call vote, right? We will call the roll on the motion to make the revisions as indicated on that's Representative or Senate and Director Hancock has indicated. Please call the roll.
Senators Bolin?
Aye.
Kolbeck?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Nessebe?
Aye.
Nostrup?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Representatives Beal?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Quam?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Senator Greenfield?
Aye.
Representative Haugard?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, Director Hancock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next items are 6H-3 and 6H-5 together, lines 16 through 22 of the first page of the handout. Both of these proposed changes have to do with getting rid of the requirement that there be a notation on the calendar of what page the commemorations appear on in the journal. Really, this isn't how people generally find commemorations anymore. If they want to look them up, they're on the internet, and that's where people go to look for them. So this seems to be a requirement, that's just causing extra work for people at this point to have to go and look up what pages on the journals these documents are. And so we're proposing here to eliminate that requirement. The commemorations will still appear in the journals, so we'll have that historical record, which stays for all time. This is just eliminating that requirement of us to print that page notation.
All right, thank you. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move adoption of 6H-3 and 6H-5.
Second. Seconded by Senator Bolin. A discussion on the motion?
No, thanks.
Hearing none, the question before the body is to approve the changes as indicated in lines 16 to 22, 6H-3 and 6H-5. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bolin?
Aye.
Kolbeck?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Nessebe?
Aye.
Nostrup?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Representatives Beal?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Quam?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Senator Greenfield?
Aye.
Representative Haugard?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion carries. Next order of business, lines 25 through 29, 6A-5. Director Hancock.
Mr. Chairman, deeply, deeply substantive change here. We have the term commemorative. The word we actually use for these is commemoration, and what appears elsewhere is commemoration. So we're just trying to make the terminology consistent and eliminate commemorative and add commemoration.
Thank you very much. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move adoption of 6A-5.
Second.
It was about 3 seconds, so Senator Langer is seconding the motion. Greenfield versus Langer. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none.
6A-5.
Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bolin?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Nessebe?
Aye.
Nostrup?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Representatives Beal?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Quam?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Senator Greenfield?
Aye.
Representative Haugard?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion carries. Next item is lines 32 through 36, 6B-1, Director Hancock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This deletion here represents, I think it was an oversight a number of years ago when the process was put into the rules to allow members to withdraw their bills. This language on line 36 should have been deleted at the same time. I'm not sure how long ago that was. I don't think it was too many years ago, but I know it was before I got here. So that's been the case for a little while now. So this would delete the "and may not thereafter be withdrawn" language, which is inconsistent with our other provisions in the rules.
Right. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move approval or adoption of 6B-1.
Just a question.
Senator Bolin had a question. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to make absolutely clear, the passage of this proposed rule in no way impacts the ability of legislators to withdraw a bill. I mean, I think it's about 6 years ago that was passed, and I want to make sure that we maintain that. So is that accurate, that we're not changing the ability of the of a legislator to withdraw his bill?
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bolin, that's correct. In fact, we're really kind of reinforcing that here, because somebody who maybe didn't know the history would look at these rules and say, well, wait a minute, over here it says you can withdraw a bill, and over here in 6B-1 it says you can't. So which is it? So, you know, this is really clarifying that the withdrawal rule as promulgated 6 years ago is what governs.
Motion was made by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Representative Hansen. Any further discussion?
Oh.
Hearing none, Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bolin?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Nessebe?
Aye.
Nostrup?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Representatives Beal?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Quam?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Senator Greenfield?
Aye.
Representative Haugard?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion carries. Next order of business, page 2 of the printed handouts, lines 3 through 7, 6G-7. Director Hancock.
Mr. Chairman, another deeply substantive change here. We have this terminology here in 6G-7 that refers to bills passing both branches of the legislature. Every place else in the rules, we talk about the houses of the legislature. So this is simply cleaning up that verbiage to be consistent in the terminology.
Thank you. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the adoption of 6G-7.
Second.
Seconded by Beal. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bolin?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Nessebe?
Aye.
Nostrup?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Beal?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Quam?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Senator Greenfield?
Aye.
Representative Haugard?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion carries. Next order of business, Director Hancock, if you'd present some observations about the other proposals on page 2 through, well, on page 2.
Yeah, page 2. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next two items, I'll talk about this first one here, but the next two two items came out of some discussions we had at LRC. The speaker had asked us to kind of take a look at the rules and, you know, were there some areas where we thought we could, potentially sort of, I guess, improve our product, you know, in terms of legislation or improve our product as the code goes. And so these came out of those discussions. I spoke with the speaker and the pro tem about bringing them before this group, and so here they are. The first one, 6A-1, this addresses the issue of, you know, we've got two different ways right now that you can create an interim study committee through legislative action. You can pass a bill or you can pass a concurrent resolution. Sometimes people do it one way, sometimes people do it the other way. The issue has been that when you use a bill to create an interim study committee, these interim study committees are usually just 1 or 2 years in length, and then their work is finished and they're done. But because they've been passed through legislation, they end up getting codified. And so we've got some sections of our code that are increasingly cluttered with these dead sections of interim study committees that the legislature has created over the years that are still sitting there in the code, even though their time of operation is well past. And so the proposal here would be to say that on lines 19 and 20, and this is the subsection dealing with concurrent resolutions, that if an interim study committee with a finite period of study is proposed, it has to be created through a concurrent resolution, because concurrent resolutions don't get codified, and therefore, you know, they expire on their own terms when the work is done.
Question,
Lieutenant Gunner.
I just looking at this first time, what impact is this? I mean, the other way that we create finite summer studies is through the summer studies, and the process would go at the end of session. Would this prohibit that?
Mr. Chairman, this wouldn't impact that. These rules only function during the legislative session, and so this would only impact interim study committees that are being created through action of the legislature. Those interim study committees, which are done every year, are created by action of the e-board, which they are statutorily authorized to do. So it's a separate process, and it's outside of these rules.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Question, Senator Schoenbeck.
Thank you. Would I be right to understand then, when you have a sometimes there's a bill that you're debating and it runs into some quagmire and it ends up morphing into a study as a compromise way to solve a problem, that option would be gone, particularly if you do this, because then if there are more bills around than there are concurrent resolutions to amend. And so your bill deadline hits, and then you're losing this option.
Director Hancock.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Schoenbeck, in a situation like that, since if this rule was in place and it required a concurrent resolution, you would either have to run a concurrent resolution, which you could do, or you could put something in the bill, perhaps requesting the executive board to create the interim study committee, but you wouldn't be able to do it directly through the bill.
Senator Bolin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just looking at Senate Bill 3, which is going to be before the legislature soon. Now, that was a recommendation of the special education, task force this summer. As we look at that, I know this will be ex post facto, I guess you might use that expression, but if this was in place, then what we're doing here is saying that this should not be done by a bill. The Senate Bill 3 in the future, if we were years in the future, should have been done by a concurrent resolution. Would that be accurate?
That would be correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also have a question of the director. Can you
I know that if I had my red book, I could answer my own question, but can you shed some light as to the difference in the deadline for bills and the deadline for concurrent resolutions?
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, I think I would want to call up Mr. Ortbahn to answer that question. He's got more than 4 years of history behind him on that.
Mr. Ortbahn, do you have something you can contribute to that?
I don't have the David Ortbahn with the Legislative Research Council. I don't have the dates right in front of me, but concurrent resolutions, the deadline for them is towards the end of session, so it's sometime later in February, and each legislator is entitled to introduce four concurrent resolutions, but you have to introduce at least three of them by the, I think it's the eighth legislative day. So after that, you're limited to one. So, but it's on the calendar.
It's the 27th legislative day.
Okay.
Further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I think about it, I think, you know, this is probably a decent idea as to a process by which we can create these interim studies without going through the actual process of passing a statute. And I guess it's something that's long been overlooked as an option. Now, this would say that that's the only way to create an interim committee. I think that if this is going to pass, it should stipulate that we are talking about during the session through the normal legislative process, and that it doesn't extend to the e-board, that the e-board still has that authority. But the other thing that I would think that we should maybe consider is treating any concurrent resolutions that should come later in session differently if it relates to the creation of an interim study. Because as Senator Schoenbeck has pointed out, sometimes bills do take some twists and turns. They get through one side, they get bogged down on the other side, and pretty quick you're talking about the plausibility of just seeking an interim study. Well, if we've gone beyond the 27th legislative day, we would be handcuffed. And so I would have those two concerns. One, that we stipulate that doesn't bind the hands, so to speak, of e-board, and two, that we extend the deadline for the creation of interim studies by this mechanism. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Diedrich.
I just ponder why we would limit the discretion of the legislature to use the constitutional powers that they have, and in the process create two or three more procedures.
Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you. Just a question for Mr. Hancock. Could you state the main, you know, what we're trying to resolve? I think you'd stated that we were clogging up our codified laws. You know, we pass a codified law requiring, and if that's the main problem, is there something beyond that? Because if that's the problem, we do cleanup language every year. And with the blue ribbon, Governor Dugard's cleanup language, you know, in 1 year you can wipe all those out-of-date statutes off the book. So if that's the problem we're trying to resolve, I don't see that that's a huge issue. Is there something beyond that?
Mr. Chairman and Lieutenant Governor, no, you're correct. If you want to go through and clean up some of these dead sections of code, it is just a matter of running a bill. It's just that hasn't been done for a while, and we were looking at this as a possible way to keep that clutter from occurring in the first place. But if we want to look at running a bill to clean up these various interim committees that have been created over the years in statute that are still sitting there in the code, yeah, that's just a matter of running a bill to get rid of those.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just looking back over the years, and I see that in 2013, there was a bill that was passed to analyze and promote economic development for South Dakota's Native American population and to establish a task force. And so if I'm reading this correctly, one additional concern beyond Senator Schoenbeck's concern is to limit the legislature's ability to pass a substantive change and to create a task force in one bill. And if we adopt this language, we would limit our ability to do so.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yes.
Substitute motion to table.
There's
no motion. Then no ignore motion. Me.
So ignored. Any further discussion? All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Hearing no motion, we'll move on to the next order of business.
Mr. Chairman, the next item really just gets to the issue of sort of best practices, I think, in bill drafting. We have this ability under the existing rule to not only delete titles, chapters, and sections of code by reference, but also to delete subdivisions and subsections of code by reference. That's not how most states generally do that. You know, when you have a section of code where you're going into that section of code and you're taking out certain things but leaving other things, in most places that you're required to put that section of code, the whole section of code, in the bill so that the people reading that bill can see exactly what parts are being taken out and how that relates in context to all of the parts that are being kept. And so this proposed change here would take out the reference to being able to repeal subdivisions and subsections by reference that way. It would lay the whole section out in the bill so you could see exactly what was being taken out and what was being kept within that section.
All right, thank you. Discussion on that recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just have a question, and it would be directed to our executive director. What are you, can you give an example as to what a subdivision, the length of a subdivision or subsection might be? Are we talking mere paragraphs, or are we talking potentially pages?
Really, Mr. Chairman and Senator Greenfield, it could be anything. I mean, subdivisions and subsections tend to be short. You know, it tends to consist of lists of things, but not always. We don't make very extensive use of subdivisions and subsections in South Dakota code, but you know, they do exist, and like I said, they tend to be short, but they can be paragraphs in length.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the adoption of 6A-2.
Second.
Moved by Greenfield, seconded by Bolin. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
I'm probably about as indifferent as I could be on this one. I don't know that it's necessary because if a person has an internet connection, any piece of technology whatsoever, and an ounce of gumption, they can find what it is that's being referenced. But in the interest of transparency, this is probably a good government measure, so I will embrace it, I guess, at the time, and encourage you to do so as well. That from somebody who's rather ambivalent about it.
Thank you for that rousing endorsement. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bolin?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Nessebar? Nostrup.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Diedrich.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Senator Greenfield.
Aye.
Representative Paugard.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion carries. And I'll just comment that I do appreciate the LRC staff trying to be proactive on a number of these things. The code has probably suffered a little clutter over the years, and we're trying to make some efforts to see that change. And so I appreciate their recommendations, and we'll see how things go this year. Next order of business. All right, Senator Greenfield.
I would move that we adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Greenfield, seconded by Langer to adjourn. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.
You might as well gavel right back in.